What we saw this year with putting the dirt down on Bristol, going to COTA, going to Road America, telling you that what you're doing is going the right way, and you've got to figure out a way to keep feeding the animal. Who's the animal? Our fans.
Hi, this is Jeff Hammond, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN live here at Indianapolis Motor Speedway with one of the great ambassadors and voices and participants, one of the top crew chiefs of all time. It is Jeff Hammond. Jeff, welcome to WGN.
Hey, man. Glad you're here and I'm glad to be with you.
Not only are you here and I'm here, but there's going to be thousands of fans here. And so this is a little bit of difference. I think the popularity and awareness for racing has really exploded over the last, maybe it's pent up demand from people being separated for or people prioritizing what it is that they missed during that time off. But there's a buzz here. People are excited.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, fortunately for me, I spent part of the summer with the SRX series going around a lot of different short tracks. And I really got reintroduced about how hungry people are for, you know, for Saturday night racing. And to be able to come back here to Indy knowing that this is, you know, the world center of racing and to see the energy back here, especially the fact that now we've got the Cup cars on the road course like we had the Xfinity a year ago. I was here for that race. It was unbelievable. Just got through watching the Indy cars run their race, and it was a super event. But you feel a vibe. You feel the energy. More so than I can remember in recent years.
Being in and around the sport for a long time as a commentator, as an observer, and certainly participating as a crew chief, there's like a road course renaissance now where not only people are doing more of it, but I think the racing is getting better, number one. And then I think people are excited as the fans, where maybe those weren't the most popular races to watch. Like, talk a little bit about that road course.
Well, it's really a simple explanation, believe it or not. When you race short track, when you race intermediate, when you race super speedway, and that's all you do, you get perfected at it. And that's what NASCAR, I think, had gotten to. And I think a lot of people, when they started watching what was going on in IndyCar, because, you know, if you think about it, IndyCar made a transition away from ovals, and they started going more street racing as well as road racing. And I think those fans found that, hey, this is pretty cool stuff. NASCAR realized that we only had two road course races, and at one time they only had one. That we needed to go more places like that and go to some venues that would allow us to showcase these guys' talents and allow the crew chiefs to perfect what they need to make cars better. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing better road course racing because our guys are working harder at it. The crew chiefs are doing a better job of preparing cars for it. And next year, this new car that's coming out in 2022, with this independent suspension, it's going to be probably the most well-balanced and perfected road course car that we've ever seen come down the pike in NASCAR. So road course racing next year should be even more exciting and with faster speeds and a lot better opportunities for us to be able to showcase these guys' talents.
In the past, the road courses were kind of a mystery, and racing is very expensive. Expensive to test, to try, you've got time. But now, of course, with e-racing and all that simulator stuff, William Byron is one of those guys where I don't know if you could have told me 15 years ago that you could get a guy that just does computers and come out here and compete and win at a Cup Series level. But is that part of it where it's just become easier for people, like you said, crew chiefs, teams, everybody, R&D, to just prepare and kind of perfect what they would do at a road course?
That, as well as, you know, an anomaly like him has given a lot of people a shortcut to see whether or not you got any talent. I mean, we're getting better simulator and programs that allow people to feel what you feel inside of a race car. And you still are not there 100% with what you can buy over the counter. I mean, you don't believe that, well, take you to any of the manufacturers, whether it be Chevrolet, Ford, or Toyota, and you'll be able to get opportunity to see how intricate they really are. I mean, I've driven one. The idea that you feel like you're at that venue is pretty phenomenal. But with iRacing, they are making huge gains each and every week, and I think there's so much young talent out there that has the aspiration to try to make it to the big leagues, no matter whether it's in NASCAR or IndyCar. You can go and get you that kind of a rig and get pretty darn good at it. And all of a sudden, if you decide to go Legends Racing or anything local short track, super late model, you've got a feel that you can't get anywhere else at a price you can afford.
I had talked with many, many years ago with Kyle Petty, and unlike other sports where you can go out for football, you go out for basketball, you just can't go out for racing. How do young people get into it? His answer was, know somebody with a lot of money. And this allows, like you had said, to sort of just prep that talent and kind of shape shake out who might have some of the potential to go ahead and be a part of it. Also, too, is I think, and you mentioned young talent, is like with these drivers, they are also, they're not seeing road courses as an obligation or maybe a challenge, an obstacle. There's just so much diversity in the drivers where it seems like drivers are excited to get out there, whether it's dirt racing or whether it's some of the road course stuff. They look forward, they realize it's part of the sport now, and they're excited to get better.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you mentioned dirt. I mean, there was never a thought back in my day with, you know, Darrell Waltrip, and not to say Cale Yarborough didn't grow up running some dirt tracks, but that was not where they were going to make their money. And the big money was not at short tracks. It was with NASCAR. It was on the big tracks. So with the evolution and the growth of the sport, what we're seeing is a modern technology influencing down the road. I mean, that's exactly what's going on here. We're going to wind up seeing more people being picked from iRacing to come do a driver tryout to see whether or not they got any kind of feel, because I still believe the difference between a real car and a simulation is still very important. And if you got somebody like a William Byron who can get with the right people, you can get a great result.
We talked with a lot of the listeners just about not only the drivers have sort of transcended into different series and appreciation for it, but fans have too, because a lot of times in the past, I remember growing up, if you were a stock car fan, you might not know anything about IndyCar and vice versa. And now you're seeing not only the fans knowing, but events that really can bring both of those sports together. Your thoughts on that here? Is this the kind of place where this can happen, or could these happen all over the country?
I think it could happen all over the country. I mean, perfect example is what I got an opportunity to do this past summer. Once again, SRX brought crew chiefs, you know, from NASCAR and intermixed us with Helio Castroneves, Tony Kanaan, Paul Tracy, Ernie Jr. I mean, it just, you can't say enough about the opportunities to work with these drivers. Haley Deegan, I got a chance to crew chief for her. You have opportunities to see something like that, and you see the passion and the talent of these drivers. A lot of times you always think, well, they can't handle the big, heavy cars. Or, you know, everybody who's a race fan, if you're a race fan of any cars, you don't think guys who drive stock cars deserve to be up here. And or if you're a stock car racer and fan, you can't believe that Helio Castroneves has enough talent to feel a big, heavy car. They do. They're racers. And that's what I mean. They got a passion just as deep as anybody in any one of the sports, even drag racing. Understand, racers are important to our well-being as far as motorsports is concerned. No matter who it is, if you've got a passion, we'll figure out a way to make it work for you in one of these series.
More so than maybe any other major sport, you need business. You need sponsors. It's such an integral part of it. And to make it appealing and exciting, not only for fans, but will also bring sponsors. A little while ago, maybe a couple weeks, I got a chance to talk to Marcus Lemonis, and he was big, instrumental in the whole SRX thing. I love that thing, as fans, listeners will know, the IROC series, you know, where you used to bring in, like Mario Andretti would race in that, and you'd have that. How do you think that's going to go? Do you think that's going to grow? And do you think there's potential for maybe more iterations of that kind, where you have sort of these all-star races? The fans loved it.
No, I think the fans are the ones that's going to drive it. I believe right now what I have seen so far since the end of the series in Nashville, huge crowd there. We are getting, I say we, I mean being a part of it, I use the term we because I want to be associated with it again next year because it was so much fun. But Ray and Tony have done an outstanding job, and they're getting other short tracks, other venues saying, pick me this time, pick me this time. So it's a matter, do you reward the ones who allowed you to come in this year, or do you, you know, do you change them out? You know, do you do one of these deals where next year we're going to switch and we're going to go to these tracks, but the following year we're coming back to these other tracks? I mean, I do not want to dismiss anybody that was on that circuit this year, because they were outstanding venues, fun racing, and they did an unbelievably great job of welcoming us there, making us feel like we were important, and more importantly, filling the grandstands. And, you know, that just meant so much to the drivers. They don't need 300,000, but if they got 3,000 to 10,000 people cheering for them, that is the same as 300,000, trust me. And I think that that's what's going to be interesting is, yes, they're going to be back next year. look for them to be running at least one, maybe two road courses in the course of this of the six race series. And the series may expand. We don't know yet. I haven't heard a final decision, but everything is really just a blur right now because that 6 weeks went by so quickly, but yet we finished on such a strong note.
It was so cool, but you need personalities like yourself to be in on, of course, Tony Stewart and those drivers. It was like, it was an amazing collection of drivers. And very last thing, and part of it, I think the strength of it too, and you look at some of the popularity that ARCA is having, is that I think that connection that NASCAR maybe, and if you look at it objectively, that maybe it had lost a little bit of the connection, whether it was with the manufacturer where people couldn't, you know, drive the cars that they're watching on television, and that connection, you mentioned it with those small town racetracks. It's like the epicenter of really the fandom of the whole thing, and to make those connections and to have racing that's meaningful with personalities that they know happen in those small towns, I think that's the key. And NASCAR, do they get that where they're having the dirt track at Bristol? Do they sort of understand that, like, maybe that's it, get back to the roots and make that connection?
No, I think you're right on with that, because what we saw this year with, like you say, putting the dirt down on Bristol, going to COTA, going to, you know, Road America, they're looking.
And all of those, Jeff, were like big successes, huge.
Every one of them were. And that's telling you that what you're doing is going the right way. And you've got to figure out a way to keep feeding the animal. Who's the animal? Our fans. I mean, that's what you need to be able to do. And you've got to figure out a way to do it without breaking the bank. I mean, I think when we went off, whether, you know, you agree to disagree, went to Chicago, when we went over here and we're going to Kentucky, when you can't fill those grandstands, it's telling you that the people that live there are not supporting you.
Yep.
And you've got to have the support. Otherwise, you know, I can go to Knoxville and show you where support is. When they have the Nationals up, or look at right now, they got standing room only crowd, 22,000. You know, no, it's not 200,000, but it's 22,000 for six or seven nights. I mean, do the math.
It's the tip of the iceberg, though, too. And for so many years, we had talked, whether we were talking with you or track personnel or sponsors, trying to crack that code. What can we do to bring fans back? It's nice to have times where we see things that work, right? And so I think the future is very bright. And Jeff Hamm, before we let you go, where can people catch up with you on social media? Obviously, they listen to you on SiriusXM. What's going on, and where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook, you know, Jeff Hammond, and on Twitter at Hollywood Jeff, as well as Instagram. I mean, I'd love to hear from you. I mean, I've been trying to pick it up a little bit on all of my social media outlets, because I want to stay connected with the fans. I mean, the fans have been so kind to me throughout my entire career, and I'm just trying to give back. I mean, I was showing pictures the other day on my Facebook page about a 1928 Ford Roadster pickup that belonged to my dad that my brother and I got loaded up and I took to my house the other day. And it doesn't have to be 700 horsepower. It's just got to be, you know, right situation, right day, and we'll be talking about it, whether I'm farming, whether I'm rodeoing, or whether I'm out here on the main straightaway at Indianapolis like I was earlier, talking about Jimmy Johnson and Helio Castroneves and hey, the legend himself, A.J. Foyt.
It's so great. People love the connection. They love what you do. One of the greatest crew chiefs of all time, and certainly one of the most beloved personalities and voices in motorsport. Jeff Hammond, thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Well, I really appreciate you having me, and just understand something. Your kind words, I do appreciate, but I mean, I'm just a boy from Dorado, North Carolina, fell in love with this motorsports world, and it's been very good to me for the last 50 years.